As New York embarks on a multi-prong approach to reducing greenhouse gas emissions in an attempt to contribute less to climate change, a statewide coalition is urging Governor Kathy Hochul to make energy-efficient all-electric homes a key part of the state strategy, calling for at least 2 million of these residences by 2030. To discuss the push for these so-called better buildings, as well as the development of a green affordable housing fund, we're joined by Lisa Marshall of Mothers Out Front NY. Thanks for joining us, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Sonal Jessel, Director of Policy at We Act for Environmental Justice. Welcome to the show, Sonal.
Hi, David. Thanks.
So we've heard previously on this show about the large share of greenhouse gas emissions produced by buildings in New York. So this obviously needs to be addressed in order to comply with the state's goal of dramatically curtailing our greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 at the latest. So how would 2 million energy-efficient all-electric homes help in this campaign?
The way this would help is that it's addressing one of the biggest sources of greenhouse gas emissions in all of New York State. In New York City, for example, buildings is the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions. So as New York State plans to reduce their emissions by such drastic numbers, buildings is such a natural target. And not only does electrifying 2 million homes in New York State help our greenhouse gas emissions reductions targets, but building weatherization and energy efficiency and electrification actually has massive health benefits as well.
And what is it about our housing stock now that makes them greenhouse gas emitters? Is it if they simply rely on gas to heat their homes, or is it more complicated than that?
Yeah, I mean, most buildings in New York State use gas, and gas is a fossil fuel and is a huge source of our high greenhouse gas emissions in New York State. So electrifying buildings, thereby getting us off of a huge, huge, huge source of natural gas in New York State.
So your coalition is urging Governor Hochul to hit the 2 million all-electric home goal by 2030. How does that compare to our current stock of all-electric, energy-efficient homes? And what would need to happen to hit that goal?
You know, in my day job, David, I run a community nonprofit that does education and outreach about building energy efficiency and electrification. And the challenge with buildings is that each building has its own little fossil fuel system in the basement, right? So it's not like you can make some kind of centralized change. You have to, every building has to be evaluated, the building envelope, which is how well insulated and air sealed is that building, has to be evaluated. And then, you know, the conversion of a heating system is not something each building owner is thinking about and day to day. Usually people don't think about their heating system until it breaks, right? So we are doing a lot of work to do that kind of building by building outreach. And we've been very successful, but we still need much better help from the policy angle to make this a process that is faster and more affordable and equitable so that all New Yorkers can tap into this kind of conversion when their building is ready.
But is 2 million all-electric homes, is that a big lift compared to where we're at now?
My program is the most successful one in the state, and still we're just converting a couple hundred homes a year if we're doing well. So compared to 2 million, it's sort of a drop in the bucket, but you have to start somewhere.
So does that mean the current landscape, as we talk at the end of 2021, is probably somewhere in like the low thousands?
Yes, we are trying to get good numbers on that. You know, there's a few different ways that we can measure how many homes are being converted. We can talk to manufacturers of heat pump systems and find out how many they're delivering to New York. That's one way. And we can also track the rebates people are getting from NYSERDA and the utilities. That's another way. So all in all, you know, it's a fairly slow process that is definitely growing and gaining momentum. But we need a process that is going to convert, you know, whole neighborhoods and towns at a time, not just go building by building, house by house.
Well, when we talk about homes, are we thinking in terms of single-family houses, which is what comes to mind for me in the Capital Region, or are you envisioning other types of homes, like large apartment buildings, say, in New York City and the surrounding suburbs?
Yeah, so, I mean, this ask is statewide, so that includes New York City, which is, of course, mostly apartment stock, though there are a good amount of single-family households in, like, Queens and Staten Island, for example, that would also definitely qualify. Our ask is 2 million electrified homes, and 50% of them, so 1 million, is in affordable housing in disadvantaged communities as defined by the CLCPA, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. So for New York City, that means it's a lot of apartment buildings. And we view that as extremely important because New York City building stock is, like I said, that's the city's highest source of greenhouse gas emissions. So we do really need to address the fact that a very old apartment buildings in New York City are extremely inefficient. So that's why the Green Affordable Housing Fund that we're asking for as well from Governor Hochul to help get to this goal of 2 million homes by 2030 includes pre-efficiency and pre-electrification measures, such as getting buildings ready for electrification, weatherization, and energy efficiency work are some big ones. Those are more low-cost interventions that can be done first that help, seal your windows, make sure your roof is sealed, make sure that you have energy-efficient technology, things like that that are going to be helpful not only for the process of electrification, but also will help cut down on electricity bill costs for renters, for tenants, or homeowners, and will help reduce the presence of things like mold that leads to respiratory illness.
Well, speaking of money, what does it cost to transition a house or, say, a single-family home that relies on gas for heat to an energy-efficient, all-electric building?
NYSERDA, that's New York State's Energy Research and Development Authority, just completed a $10 million pilot to help them answer that exact question. And they're still crunching those numbers. It was for low to moderate income households. 5 million was for single or 1 to 4 family homes, and 5 million was for multifamily homes, right? So we're definitely trying to get those questions answered. They are looking at doing another round of low-income housing grants, and they're estimating that for a typical home, they'll be able to do everything that's needed for about $20,000 per house.
Considering the energy landscape that exists right now, do we have the renewable energy sources to provide 2 million all-electric homes with energy from just renewable energy sources, or would they need to get their electricity potentially from fossil fuel sources?
New York does have one of the lowest carbon emitting grids right now of any state. That's because we get a lot of our electricity from hydropower and also from some aging nuclear power plants in upstate New York. Regardless of how you feel about those nuclear power plants, they are currently giving us a low or zero carbon source of electricity. So right now the grid is, I wouldn't say green, but it's not red either. it's fairly low carbon. Of course, more renewables are being built and being brought online all the time. And, the NYISO, the New York Independent System Operator, is starting to look at the outlook for the grid if transportation and buildings are all electrified and how much power is going to be needed and where we can source that power. I will say that simply electrifying is not enough. What we really do need is, especially in urban areas, to have networked or system geothermal systems, because those are systems that are really can transform a whole neighborhood or even a whole town onto a renewably sourced source of heat. And you can build solar microgrids that actually run that system so that you don't have to take a bunch of grid electricity for those. But even if you're running them off the grid, those are systems that are because the heat source is the ground, right, which is the same temperature all year round, there you don't run into these issues of peaking, for example, on a very hot day or a very cold day. Those geothermal systems can provide heat, they can provide air conditioning, and they can heat hot water for hundreds of homes at a time. So, you know, all in rural areas like where I live, it's going to be a house-by-house solution. But in more urban areas, which is where most of our populations live, we could be starting to build these district systems. And NYSERDA actually has a program now for people to put in proposals for those kinds of systems where they're going to fund the feasibility studies. So some of this work is already in motion, but of course we're anxious for the state to move that kind of thing forward to make it real.
And I'll also add, David, that conceptually we're just working towards all electric buildings and a renewable grid at the same time. I mean, it all has to happen now. So it's all moving together. And in addition to geothermal, a place like New York City is, you know, we're working hard to get an expansion of community solar, for example, which is a solution that a lot of the people that we work with at WEACT really like.
And finally, legislation was recently promoted by State Senator Brian Kavanaugh and Assemblymember Emily Gallagher that has to do with statewide restrictions on new gas-powered buildings after 2023. How does this fit into your broader goals in terms of an electrified building stock?
So the Kavanaugh-Gallagher bill, the all-electric building bill, is exactly what we are looking for from our legislature to lead in this space. It's really important to start with new construction for a few reasons. And one of the main reasons is just to think about the existing gas system. That's the system that distributes gas, the gas utility system that we all pay for, right? So if the new building is built today and connected to that gas system, that puts us all on the hook to maintain that gas infrastructure into the future, which, considering that the technology exists now for new buildings to be completely fossil-free, is a terrible use of ratepayer money. And it's really, of course, a terrible thing for the climate. So this kind of legislation, we're excited about it. We can't wait to talk to all our lawmakers in Albany and get them to co-sponsor. And I'm hoping that Kathy Hochul will be excited to sign this legislation. This is really important for that reason. Also, it just gives the market signal, right? It tells developers, architects, the public, the manufacturers, then the labor sector, hey, this is the kind of buildings we're going to be building in New York from now on. From now on, New York is the fossil-free building state. And that really helps make the transition of the existing buildings a lot easier, right? Because we start to sort of turn the corner and help in terms of how we think about building energy, heating, cooking, hot water, et cetera.
And I'll add one thing that we're really excited to see in the bill that, you know, we advocate for is the bill also includes a provision saying that the state cannot let there be an energy burden for any household greater than 6%, which is not made up in this bill, but is a number that the state has also committed to. And that piece is so important because as we electrify households, we have to be concerned about where this impacts lower income people and people of color who carry a high energy burden, meaning their ratio of the utility bill to their income is really, really high. So that's what we also really like to see in this bill is that there are also protections for lower-income people to make sure that they're not ending up taking on a huge burden as we're transitioning.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Lisa Marshall of Mothers Out Front NY and Sonal Jessel, Director of Policy at We Act for Environmental Justice. Lisa, Sonal, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Hey, thanks so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.